Howdy doody.
This is the Dana and Parks Podcast.
Yes, ma'am, me all day long.
Okie dokie.
Interesting survey that came out from the Center for Financial Services Innovation. It says nearly half of Americans say their expenses are equal to or greater than their income, which means they're living paycheck to paycheck.
What day is it?
Yeah.
How many days are between the 1st and the 15th? Because I feel like it's 42,056.
Okay, we're now between the 15th and the 30th.
Yeah, I can't even keep track of my days. Okay. We're getting paid. We get paid coming up here.
Yeah. Thursday night.
You going to make it?
Yeah, I'm going to make it. I'll make it.
They say half of America has no financial cushion.
It's going to be tight.
Part of it is because transportation and housing costs are going up and wages are not.
No.
And the other part...
It's because we outspend our means.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why.
The other part of it is that a lot of the economy is going to the gig economy, so people aren't working steady jobs any longer, and so their income can vary up to 25% per month.
Let me ask you this, and I want you both to be honest. Is Rod in there? He went to go to the bathroom again. I think he might have diarrhea. Paycheck to paycheck, you and Paul?
No.
Paycheck to paycheck, Dana Wright?
I should do better than I do with saving. I usually spend what I make.
What happened to the course you were taking with that one dude?
Okay, listen to this. This is one little tweak that I made in my lifestyle. We are going to take a family vacation next August. So a year and 1 month from now. This is usually...
I was going to say, it ain't going to be in this August because you're out of vacation.
This is usually not how Dana runs her life. We had an actual meeting with everybody going on this trip. We sat down, we looked at the calendar, we picked the dates. We looked up the cost.
Wow, you did what every other American family does.
We looked up the cost, we figured out, okay, that's like in 14 months. Well, usually we just go and we just pay for it. And then I'm like, oh my God, I don't have any money, we just went on vacation. I'm going to put away $100 every month for the next 13 months. And I'm like, oh, then we'll have all that money to go.
And then you'll be able to pay for a third of the trip.
Chris was so proud of me. I go, honey, it's not going to be that bad. We'll just start saving for it. We are going to save for a vacation. We never do that, ever.
I don't believe you're going to be able to do that.
Oh, I'll totally be able to do it.
Okay. Kara Markser?
Oh, she makes my head hurt.
You believe that she'll be able to save $100 a month for this vacation? And by the way, that's only going to pay for about a third of the vacation.
I know, but that's a big third.
Okay. I'm not mad at you. I'm happy for you.
I don't know. I'm thinking when Christmas hits, that $100 is going to go out the window.
No. I don't want to tap into my vacation fund.
I think we're dipping into the vacation fund here.
I'd worry when school starts back. You got
kids
all those birthdays.
Shoes. Got birthday party this weekend. Jack is heading off to college. We're going to have to get him.
This is why we're taking this vacation, by the way, next August.
Dry erase board so that he could put down his assignments.
Oh, is this like the pre?
It's the last hurrah. Okay. It's the last hurrah where we're going to take everybody somewhere and then be broke for the next 40 years of our lives.
Dana, I love you. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I do love you. You're like the sister I never had. You're full of crap.
Scott. Did you hear about those new corduroy pillows?
No. Terrible Joke Tuesday is over.
Did you hear about those new corduroy pillows?
I did not.
They're making headlines.
I really like that one, actually.
We need to play that game where we each read each other jokes.
But you cannot laugh.
Oh, that's hard.
You cannot laugh. Have you seen that on the internet?
No.
It's two dads face-to-face, like with a buzzer in front of them, you know, like on Family Feud.
Yeah.
They're face-to-face. And one of them tells a joke, and the dumber the better, to the other one. And the first person to laugh loses.
What if you crack a smile?
Mm-mm.
That's
okay.
You
can't do that?
You can do that. Okay. That doesn't count.
Okay.
Like, I could go like this. But I can't laugh.
Interesting.
Scott.
That would be hard.
Look at me.
All right, hang on. Okay, go.
What do we want? Low flying airplane noise. When do we want it? Meow. Okay. All right.
Good job, Scott.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you, Kara. It wasn't that funny.
It really was.
No.
Meow.
Sounds like that guy in the commercial.
It does. No, I am not reading that.
Hang on. That would definitely make Scott laugh.
No, no, absolutely not. Now they're talking about vacations. Stop it. I'm not going to tell you where we're going on.
You want to make me laugh, throw in something racially insensitive.
The one was that I just read was, and I'm not going to say it. What did the tomato say when he stepped on his lazy son? Ketchup! He's not laughing.
Because okay, they're not funny.
Do me one. Do me one. Do me one.
I'm sorry?
Do me one.
Okay, hang on. Get off the text line. Go to something else.
All right, I'm minimizing the text line. There you go. Taking that out, taking that out, taking that out. Okay.
All right. Here's what we got to do.
Okay. Look at me, though. You got to look at me.
I will, but I need somebody to throw me a really good joke.
Okay. Right. My problem is I laugh at everything. I'm going to try. Okay. Ooh. Come on. What do we want? Low-flying airplane noise. What do we want? It? That is hilarious.
La, 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 la. Hang on. I'm still waiting. I need Rod back in here so because he's got all these jokes in his brain. Here he comes. Thank God. I'll get Rod to say a joke.
Okay.
All right.
And I cannot laugh.
Right.
All right. What if I...
Rod, here's
no,
what we're
no
doing.
Noise.
Okay, no noises.
By the way, was that your second deuce of the day?
Or it's been what's, gone a couple times.
I mean, what's going
right
on
there?
Over there, partner?
Are you coming okay? out all right?
You regular?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's right. Good. It's good.
Well, we're playing a game right now.
Does the term sting ring mean anything to
no.
you?
Ooh. No, it does not.
Oh, ooh, you no. got that?
Okay, could we move on, please?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
No, I can't no. read it. 6076, brilliant joke. I will not read that for fear that the conservative right will kill me. Rod, we're trying to get Dana to laugh at a joke.
Okay.
But you're much better at this than I am. Do you have one in the old... remember like your Ethiopian and Yoko
funny.
Ono joke?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have one of those in there somewhere?
Why is it when someone tells you to tell a joke, you can never think of the joke?
Yeah, I'm kind of blank.
Like
okay, here's one. Here's
okay,
one.
Okay, wait. Now, see, I'm already laughing. I don't even know what you're going to say. Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
A piece of string walks into a McDonald's, orders a cheeseburger. The guy behind the counter says, I'm not giving you a cheeseburger. You're a piece of string. Get the hell out of here. So this piece of string goes outside and he twists himself around and he wraps himself up and he frays out his ends and he goes back in. He says, I need a Big Mac. And the guy says, you're that same piece of string. And the piece of string goes, no, I'm afraid not.
At first, I couldn't tell if you got it or not.
I didn't get it. That's why I wasn't laughing.
All right, Dana, you ready? Here we go.
I thought you said afraid, like he was scared. And I'm like, why is he scared? Okay. Oh, that was a close one.
It's called a pun.
I thought you meant afraid. A-F-R-A-I-D.
I'm afraid yeah,
that's
not.
Why it's called a pun.
Oh, my God.
Okay, give me another one I don't understand. Okay. I will laugh.
What did the Asian couple name their baby when it was born black?
I am not having you read that.
Sum Ting Wong.
Nothing.
Damn it.
I'm not laughing at that.
What do you call a fish with two knees?
What?
A toonie fish. Got her.
She broke on that one.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard my entire life. A toonie fish? What does that even mean?
My God. You don't get it?
Mm-hmm.
Toonie fish?
This is my mad face.
Why are you mad?
I'm trying not to laugh.
Oh, there's a really good one.
Okay.
All right, go. All right, we're doing Dana, right?
Yeah.
No, okay. Do both of us.
Okay, both of you. What does a gay horse eat for dinner?
Hey. Heard it, not laughing. Navid, thank you.
Not laughing. I think gay jokes aren't funny.
A baby seal walks into a club.
Oh, no.
That is not funny. I love baby seals.
That's hilarious.
Scott.
I'm not laughing. I love how Scott won't read any racial jokes except the Asian ones.
I know. You're going to get fired. And I'm going to go, I didn't laugh. Can't fire me. I didn't laugh at all. I didn't crack. I was like, no, I'm not going to say that.
Oh, what were you going to say, Dana?
Bobby! I wasn't going to say anything.
Were you going to say that black don't crack?
No, I was not, because I'm in my not smiley mode.
No, I can't read the
I know.
Psycho. Oh, I want to so bad.
Oh, come on, read it.
No.
What do you call a chicken coop with four doors?
What, Dana?
A chicken sedan. He's not even mildly amused at that.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's no toonie.
How did Helen Keller break her fingers?
Oh, no.
How did Helen Keller break her fingers?
She was rolling down a hill yelling for help.
I'm not laughing at that. I don't think that's funny, in the least.
Rod and I do.
A dung beetle walks into a bar and says, is this stool taken?
Oh.
Need business cards? Something different will print you 1,000 full-color cards for only $35. That's right, only $35. 100 DVDs or CDs duplicated for only $75. Visit Something Different at 1622 Westford Road. Call us at 816-753-8000 or visit us online at somethingdifferent.com.
And they're coming to town this year. First time in over a decade they're going to be in Kansas City. I did not know this. Adam Clayton, who plays bass for U2, happens to be, turns out, who knew?
Yeah, I saw this
shit. He's a recovering alcoholic. And he accepted an award last night at the Music Cares event, which is fantastic. He said Eric Clapton was the one who came up to him. If you're not familiar with U2, or let me rephrase. Of course, everybody's familiar with U2. Adam Clayton is the bass player. Bleach blonde hair, always short. Kind of looks like a nerdy Billy Idol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he gets up there. He says that Eric Clapton was the one who came to him one time and said, dude, you're off the hill, man. It's time to get fixed. And I thought that was really nice. But during his speech last night, and I read the speech this morning, I was like, simmer down. Did you hear the speech? Adam Clayton said, we have a pact. He was talking about, you know, how grateful he is for all the guys in the band sticking with him and, you know, never turning their back on him.
No.
And that's cool.
Good.
That's cool. Because I would assume if any of us, you, me, Kara, or Dana, had a problem, we would all always have each other's back, right? And we're in this to win it, right?
Right.
But he says, we have a pact with each other. In our band, no one will be a casualty. We all come home, or none of us come home. No one will be left behind.
Okay.
Bro, you're not the Rangers, and you're not the Navy SEALs.
Oh, I think that's beautiful what he said.
Oh, okay.
That if someone is struggling, you're going to bend down and pick them up and smack them in the face and say, hey, get your head on right. I think that's what he's saying. Because look at all of the rockers who've died, you know, on bathroom floors kind of thing.
Okay. Maybe I read it wrong.
I read it like a military thing.
I was like, ease back, Captain. You're not in the Navy SEALs.
No.
Yeah, you're just playing rock music. Well, it's not even rock music.
No, I think he was saying we all go home, meaning if one of us is really struggling, it's everyone's responsibility to say you need to get help.
Maybe I'm just being a DB.
Let me turn the question around and ask you this. If someone in your circle of four, because they have a band, came up to that person and said, we all think you have a problem, how many times out of 10 is that going to go well? I mean, that's a tough thing to say to someone you love, and it's an even tougher thing to hear.
Oh, I bet it's much worse to hear.
Yeah. Because if you have a problem, you know it. But part of the problem's denial.
And the worst part about hearing it is that not only is your problem so bad,
yeah,
that you already know it, But now everybody else has noticed it too. Because it's so
like
bad.
Like, buddy, we know you haven't remembered anything from the last three tour dates kind of thing. Time to pull it back. I mean, I don't know. I think it's interesting because some band people hate each other. You know, they just go out and they make their money.
Well, look at Motley Crue.
Yeah.
They hate each other. Absolutely hate each other.
I think you have to be so comfortable. I don't know. Is it easier hearing something like that from someone really close to you or not as close to you?
Usually it's someone in between.
Yeah. Because, like, I think if it's someone really close to you, you're like, your mom, I don't have a problem. You have a problem.
Yeah. And chances are if they're that close to you.
You should be called jumbling until your mom got on it.
They're probably with you in the problem.
Right. Correct. Mm.
That's a good point, Rod.
If they're too far away, then you don't care what they have to say.
Mm-hmm. It's someone in between.
Yeah.
You ever done an intervention on somebody?
No. Uh-uh.
Rod?
Oh, yeah. I've had to tell people, dude, I'm worried about you. I've never had the whole, you know, we've brought you here to talk to you today.
Because we love you. You know we're here because we love you.
We're going to tell you how your problems have hurt all of us.
Right, right.
Carrie, you ever drop that bomb?
Nope.
Let me ask you this. Is there somebody you think you need to drop that bomb on?
I was worried about you for a while.
Oh, yeah. So was I.
Yeah.
Rod?
I wasn't worried.
You don't care about anybody. Dana?
No.
Did you think about doing an intervention with me?
No, but saying I am really concerned, yes.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. But there's a difference.
Oh, for sure.
Because I don't think that's our place. I don't think if someone... I don't know, is it? He's saying in the
You're
band...
You're telling me that on this show...
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's having a problem, you don't think one of us has the obligation to intervene?
I think I would more likely than not reach out to your mother, your brother, and or your girlfriend who physically see you more often than we do outside of these walls.
Nobody sees me more than you.
I don't know. The coworker intervention is a hard thing. Mm. It's hard. I feel like it would change the dynamic of the show.
Hmm.
Like, would you say things different or walk
on eggshells? So you love the show more than you love me?
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
I don't know anyone. If you've done it, certainly text us.
Scott, I don't want your problems to get in the way of me making a money.
I just think you don't want an intervention with your coworkers. It's got to be like your family that sits you down.
You don't intervene with your coworkers.
No.
Kara?
Like I said, I seriously considered saying I'm worried about you.
Okay. And you would be right.
Someone just said it's not who you hear it from. It's your willingness to accept it.
Hmm.
And then there's this one. It's got to be a best friend. It's got to be someone you take seriously when they are serious and not seriously when they're not.
Here's the worst part. Rod has seen me at my worst.
Mm-hmm.
And all he says is, yeah, I didn't know. No.
No, I wasn't worried.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I knew you could handle it.
You got this.
You've got it, kid.
Well, through my experience in life, what I've learned is until you're ready to see it, it doesn't matter who tells you it.
Right.
Good point.
So I could come and tell you I'm worried about you all day long, and you'd be like, dude, don't worry about me. I'm fine.
Don't worry about me. I'm fine.
But the day that you go,
this guy,
hey, man, I'm kind of starting to get worried. That's when I go,
God, we've been there for 3 years.
I'm worried about you. Yeah, let's do something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Scott, we were worried about you for like, I don't know.
Remember when Clinton was in office?
900 days. Scott, you were like what we call off the rail.
I agree. Rod just said it perfectly.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, you got to want to hear it. You have to hit rock bottom.
Yeah, no, there's truth in that.
Yeah. Well, I thank you, Rod. Thank you for caring.
That's for me and Kara.
To the newsroom.
Thank you for caring. You're a jerk who hates me.
To the newsroom and Kara Marks.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. It's your lucky day at Something Different for $7.77. You can transfer your old videotapes to DVD. Preserve your memories. Better hurry before this great deal is gone. Want more info? Call us now. 913-764-9500.
Wild, wild, wild. So you think I-
a throwback to the 80s. 576-7798. The number of GOP senators who are now against the health care overhaul bill is now at 9, and it includes Jerry Moran of Kansas. He came out today in a statement saying that the bill misses the mark and that he is going to vote against it. So it is now at 9. They can only afford to lose 2.
It's not looking good.
The University of Delaware is cutting ties with a professor over comments that she reportedly made on social media about Otto Warmbier. Remember him? He was the young man who died in, or died from, whatever happened to him in North Korea. The university announcing that the adjutant anthropology faculty member, Catherine Detweiler, will not be rehired to teach in the future. In a written statement, school officials said that the comments of Catherine Detweiler do not reflect the values or the positions of the University of Delaware. We condemn any and all messages that endorse hatred and convey insensitivity toward a tragic event, such as the one that took the life of Otto Warmbier. In a now-deleted Facebook post, Professor Detweiler reportedly wrote, in part, that Warmbier got exactly what he deserved.
It's the word deserved that got him. But read on. He said more than that.
She continued by saying that Warmbier was, quote, typical of a mindset a lot of the young, white, rich, clueless males she teaches have.
That in and of itself would not have gotten her fired. Because what? They are saying, just the second part, not the first part. They are saying there is an accusation that he is caught on tape pulling down a piece of propaganda outside of his hotel room. If you have a professor who does nothing but teach guys at this age set at a university who says, look, I see these guys all the time. They go overseas. They get in over the head. They think the world's all about them until you get into a dictatorship where when you break a rule over there, they kill you. That's how I took it to mean. That being said, she did not say it correct. She didn't say it sensitively. She said it grossly insensitively.
But you're saying that this line would not get her in trouble. Let me read it. That Warmbier was, quote, typical of a mindset of a lot of the young, white, rich, clueless males that I teach.
Let me say it another way. These young, white, rich, clueless guys, age 22, go overseas thinking none of the rules apply to them, just like here, and then they quickly figure out that, whoops, I'm in a country led by a murderous dictator. And they come back in a casket. And Scott, I said this a week ago when he died, and God bless that man and his family. I would just assume if I went over to North Korea, they would kill me. I don't understand why anyone in their right mind would travel to that place. And if you do, you had better dot every I and cross every T, because you make one mistake, you come home dead.
Let me rewrite what she wrote.
Okay.
Tell me if it's a fireable offense.
Okay.
Warmbier was typical of a mindset of a lot of the old, black, poor females that I teach.
Yes, she would be fired. She's talking about young, white, entitled, wealthy men. And I'm guessing the college where she teaches is very expensive to go. She sees
University of Delaware.
She sees, but it's East Coast, isn't it all expensive up there?
Well, I mean, all college is expensive. I guess, let me backtrack that one.
She sees these kids in her class every day.
University of Delaware is not an elitist Harvard-like or Yale-like college.
But she sees these young, white, preppy, Vineyard Vines-wearing 20-somethings in her class every day. What I think she was trying to say is these dingbats go overseas and think the rules don't apply to them over there, and they end up dead or in prison.
That doesn't mean you deserve what you got.
That is a horrible thing that she said. That in and of itself was a fireable offense and should be. I would in a million years never say anyone deserved to die. I hate the word deserve when you're talking about death. I think the word I would prefer to use is entirely avoidable. His death was entirely avoidable, even if he was on his best behavior, because I don't think Americans should be going over there.
But you don't think the government should forbid you, do you?
I think if you go, it is with great risk.
And the government should say, Pontius Pilate,
we're out of it. If you want to go travel the world,
right?
I mean, Godspeed. Why anyone would go over there, I will never understand.
Well, but the same argument could be made for traveling to Syria.
Again, why would anyone would go over there? Unless you're a humanitarian, God love you for the work that you do. You are risking your life when you go into a place like that.
But do you deserve what happens to you if you go over there?
Of course not. I think it is foreseeable that something bad will happen to me, because I'm a worst case scenario kind of gal. It's foreseeable that something would happen, and it is certainly avoidable that he was ended up dead.
Would you let one of your kids go to...
No, you don't even have to say it. No.
Paris?
You know, I had many friends who went on that band trip after the terror attack. Remember?
Yes.
All the kids with the band that went over there?
Would you let your kids go to Paris? Yes or no?
Yes.
London?
Yes.
Moscow?
Ew, no.
Rome?
Sure.
Turkey?
Hell no.
Israel?
I know friends who have children who have gone over there on, you know, mission trips, a lot of history.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Jesus over there.
No.
No Israel.
No. I'll help them find Jesus here. I am a worst case scenario travel person. No way.
Mexico.
On resort only.
Mexico City.
I think that's where Americans get in trouble, Scott. They go down there and they think, oh, I'm going to go out at 2 in the morning.
You're a Cancun.
Wasted. And then you end up Natalie Holloway. I'm sorry. No.
So you're a Cancun island resort only.
Resort only. Yes.
Don't go into the city.
There's no way I would let the kids go into the city. No.
Okay. Hang on. Let me think of one here.
I mean, I'll tell you this. We have
Cuba.
You can now only go there during...
No, screw Trump.
Okay.
Cuba.
I don't know. Probably not.
Huh.
Can't we just go to Denver? Or LA? Or Chicago?
Oh, Chicago's safer?
Michigan Avenue only.
With lanyards?
Yeah.
Of course. Of course. Of course, with lanyards. Would you make your 17-year-old wear a lanyard?
If Sarah Parks came up to you and said, Dad, I feel in my heart I want to help people who are struggling, and my heart is calling me to Syria,
you would
absolutely tie her down.
I would tie her down and feed her Cheerios every morning.
I guess that's what I don't understand. There had to have been a point where this sweet Otto said to his mom and dad, I want to go to North Korea. And I know you can't tell a young adult you can or can't do this. I would have done everything in my power to stop what I would consider an insane, needless risk.
Now, Sarah would be tied down with a bedpan underneath her
butt.
I know,
you're making fun of me, and you would do the same thing.
Well, only if it was like she wanted to go to Syria or something.
Or North Korea.
Yeah. I would tie her down. I would cut a hole in the bed, put a bedpan underneath it, okay, that I would clean.
Yeah.
And then I would come down for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with a bowl of Cheerios dry, no milk, and I would feed her Cheerios.
Last thing I'll
throughout
ask.
The day.
If this professor had said this was a foreseeable death and all of the young, rich, entitled, white young men in my class have no business going to a place like North Korea, would she be fired? Because I would probably agree with that statement, Scott. She said it in a horrible way. But I agree with the fact that you don't belong over there.
Jonathan Weir coming up right after the 6 o'clock news. Dana Wright, Rob Babcock. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Email marketing is an inexpensive way to communicate to your customers. Something different will help you reach your goals and audience. Like everything else in life worth a hill of beans, email marketing takes effort. Put the right team in charge of your email marketing. Put something different in charge of your email marketing. Your brand is worth it. Call Something Different now to talk about your business, your goals, and how we can use the internet to grow your business. Call Something Different now at 816-753-8000 for a free evaluation. That's 816-753-8000.
the king of the beat. You see, you're rocking that beat from across the street. And Beat Street is a lesson too, because you can't let the street beat you.
He's the king. Grandmaster Flash.
You can express a thousand words.
On a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. John McEnroe is refusing to apologize to Serena Williams.
He shouldn't have to.
I don't think so either.
Right, we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about this on my show. But why should he apologize to her? He didn't say anything bad about her.
He said, as a woman, she's one of the
most amazing, if not the greatest. She is the greatest.
The greatest female tennis player
of all
time.
And then they asked him about male and female. And he said, well, if she was male and female, she'd be like 700.
Like, yeah.
You don't think that that's a slight?
I think that is actually, I think he was pretty overestimating accurate how she would be 700th, because there's ratings for this. There's data for tennis players, and she doesn't come close to
with
men
respect to speed
with
or
serving
accuracy.
And her ability to get to a ball and
even
all that stuff.
Even she said years ago, it is two completely different sports, men's tennis and women's tennis, that the men clearly are faster players, and that they serve much faster than women. It's just a fact.
I knew when I saw that headline that that would be Scott's favorite story of the day.
I just think it's
he always goes, why can't you just say that biologically there are differences between men and women?
Why can't
because
there are.
There are. That's why there's a women's tennis and a men's tennis.
Really quick, did you see the softball player? The fast pitch softball player, and it's making the rounds, the video today. It's on the Kansas City Star website. I'll have Dan put it on our website. She's pitching to Butera. For whatever reason, he said, I'll warm you up. She throws her first pitch. It knocks him backward into the net. It's hilarious.
Of course, she tried to hit him.
Oh, she did not.
Tramp.
Maybe it's because there's no difference between softball and baseball.
Oh, God.
Did you ever think about that? Scott, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Do you know that, Weir? There's no difference between softball and baseball.
Well, the balls are different size.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That difference.
Mm-hmm.
One's bigger, one's smaller.
As a man, I get really offended when, never mind, people say that there's no difference in ball size, or it doesn't matter.
That's the main difference.
Anyway, we'll be talking about the John McEnroe thing coming up on the show.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Did you know ball size didn't matter, John?
Apparently it doesn't, no.
You can have big balls, you can have small balls. It doesn't matter. The chicks don't care. They don't care. Did you know that?
Big old medicine-sized balls, it's fine.
They don't care. The broads just don't care. You do?
What is wrong with you? Stop.
You're the one that said it.
I was talking about Drew Butera.
So am I.
Good.
On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, the great Rod Babcock, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're all back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night, Kansas City. What's up, Runnabomb?
Scott, what's up, man?
What's up, man? Have a great night, Kansas City. Be safe and be good.